We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn Leilu Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliab and Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshamos should have an aliyah. We are starting the 12th Mishnah of the 5th chapter of Pirkei Avos. The main big topic that we're going to be speaking about is the different categories of students, Arba Midos B'Talmidim, different types of disciples. And as we will see shortly, that is going to reference different styles of intelligences, different types of memory, as well as processing speed, how quickly a student can learn something. That's going to be the main topic for today. But before we get there, what I want to do is prime us for some nuances that will come up within the text by rereading the past two Mishnayos that we have done. So at the very least, it'll just be a review, a chazara, which by the end of this year, we will see is essential. But the more precise thing that we are going to be doing as we read these two Mishnayos is we're going to be focusing on words that we are then going to contrast when we read our Mishnah. So let's put our thinking caps on and see if we can identify a fundamental difference between the previous two Mishnayos and the Mishnah that we are going to be reading this morning. So Mishnah 10 on the top of your source sheets says Arba Midos Ba'adam. There are four types of people. Those who say, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. That's Mida Beinonis. That's a commonplace type. Yesh Omrim Zumida Stome. There are those that say that that is the characteristics of Stome, which we alluded to as to how that distinction and dispute might come about. But we're going to leave the nuances for now, just big picture. If I say what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, that's, let's just go with middle of the road path. If I say shali shelcha v'shelcha shali, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine, the reciprocal relationship, that's called an ama aretz, the regular middle of the road type of person. Number three, shali v'shelcha v'shelcha shelcha, what's mine is yours is yours, that's a chassid, that's a righteous, a pious person. And shali shali v'shelcha shali, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, is a wicked person. So we have two middle of the road paths, and then a pious path and a wicked path when it comes to how we interact with ours and other people's items. The next Mishnah, which we focused on last week and the week before that, is Arba Midos Bideos. There are four types of temperaments, four types of ways of personality structure. We have those who are Noach Lichos v'Noach Lirtzos, who become easily angered and easy to be appeased. Yatza Scharo Behefsedo, his gain disappears in his loss. Kasha Lichos v'Kasha Lirtzos, hard to become angry and hard to be appeased. Yatzev Sedo Bischaro, his loss disappears in his gain. Big picture for now, we had a lot of disputes how to understand that, but the big picture is we have two categories of some level of middle ground where you have a pro and a con. Either you get angered easily, but that's compensated or set off by the fact that you get appeased easily, or it's hard for you to get angry, but that's offset by the fact that you then stay angry for a long time. Which one is better? We analyzed that last week. But two middle-of-the-road paths. Then we finish off with the two extremes. Kasha lichos v'noach lirtzos, somebody who gets angry not easily, so it's hard for them to get angry. And then even if they do get angry, they get appeased easily. That type of characteristic, that personality trait is called chassid, pious. And noach lichos v'kasha lirtzos, if you become angered easily and hard to be appeased, that's the worst of both worlds. That's a rasha, a wicked person. Very similar structure. First two are middle of the road, and then we have an extreme pious and an extreme wicked when it comes to temperament, personality, specifically in terms of anger. And that leads us to our Mishnah. We will have to analyze what's similar in the structure, what's different in the structure. Arba Midos Batalmidim. There are four types of disciples. Type number one, maher lishmoa umaher la'abid, quick to comprehend and quick to forget. So it's a very quick processing speed, understands it quickly, but then forgets it the next day. Yatza scharo behefsedo, his gain of the fact that he's quick to comprehend disappears in his loss that he forgets it the next day. That's category number one. Category number two, kasha lishmoa v'kasha la'abed. Somebody who is slow to comprehend, so it's not quick, doesn't understand things quickly, but once they understand it, kasha la'abed, it's hard for them to forget. They're slow to forget. That means they remember it for a long time. Yotze hefsedo bischaro. His loss, his con, of the fact that it takes a long time for him to understand, is lost in his reward, and the benefit outweighs the loss of the fact that he remembers it for a long time. So the benefit of his memory compensates for the fact that it was hard to understand, to process in the first place. Those are our two middles. There's a pro and a con. Our two extremes. Maher lishmoa v'kasha la'abed. If I am quick to comprehend and slow to forget, that's the best of both worlds. I have a quick processing speed, and then I have a good memory. So that, if that is my brain structure, is that how I think? That's my intelligence. Chacham. I am a wise person. On the flip, kasha lishmoa umaher la'abed. If I'm slow to comprehend and then I'm quickly to forget, that's the worst of both worlds. And zeh chelek ra. That is an evil, or let's say a bad portion. Those are my four categories. So off the cuff, quick read. What's the most glaring difference between the first two Mishnayos that we did over the past few weeks and our Mishnah this morning? One glaring difference that's going to set up the entire structure for today's shiur.
Can I speak?
You may.
Oh, okay. I raised my hand.
I didn't see you. I only have five people in my box here.
The fact that the first two say Chassid Barasha as the I'm trying to think of the word. You know, the end.
The judgment.
No, not the judgment. We have Chassid and Rasha, and the last ones, it's Chacham and Zechelik Ra. It doesn't say that he's a Hediot or a Pashut. It's not an opposite. Zechelik Ra and Chacham are not opposites of each other the way Chassid and Rasha are opposites of each other.
Okay, so Chacham and Chelik Ra are not opposites. Okay, that's good. Chassid and Rasha are opposites. So you're right.
Ends of the spectrum. That's the phrase I'm looking for. Okay,
you're right there, but you're not fully there in terms of at least where I'm going. That's correct. But there's a more.
I have something else that bothers me. I really bother the business of Scharo in the first two. Why is it a Sachar, a reward?
Okay, excellent question. What does reward have to do with anything? So we'll have to, the commentators, pick up on that. Why is there a reward here? But that is, you're dancing around where I'm going here. So focus on your first answer. If somebody else wants to chime in, you can. The fact that you're saying, not just that they don't parallel as well, Chassid Rasha, and Chacham and Chelek Ra is not parallel, you're basically overlooking, it's inherent in what you're saying, what the big contrast is.
Well, I didn't like the beginning anyway. It had nothing to do with comparing it to the first two. I think those are innate characteristics of people. I don't think it's something you can develop to become quick to comprehend. Either you catch on quickly or you don't. And for those who don't and need to study more, that's not a bad thing.
Okay, great. So here we go. Let's frame what you're saying. In the first two, it says you're pious and you're wicked. In this, there is no judgment of piety and wickedness. It's a different, the way we're explaining the attributes is fundamentally different. In the first two, we are going to give you a moral judgment. You are either pious or you're wicked in the extremes. Here, it is nothing to do with piety or wickedness. We are talking about a level of intelligence, and we are not going to, let's say, call you a name based on that. We're not going to denigrate you. And perhaps Freda's already getting to the reason for that is because maybe these are inherent characteristics that are not up to you when it comes to how well you're going to share. Well, we're going to assume that you have the capability to choose. You have the bechira to either give or not give, to take or not to take. When it comes to how angry you become, we're going to assume that you have the bechira, the choice, to either get angry or not to get angry, and that if you work on yourself hard enough, you will be able to change to get to the pious option and get away from either the wicked or the middle of the road option if you try hard enough. Here, perhaps the reason why we are not calling somebody pious or wicked based on their ability to remember or to process is maybe that's not actually in their hands. Maybe that is a gift from God, a genetic undertaking that has nothing to do with your ability to change how good your memory is or how quickly you process information. And in fact, that is exactly what the Rambam here says in source number 2. Hitbonein eich lo amar al tov hazikaron hameivin chasid. Pay careful attention, he says, that when it comes to somebody who has a good memory, it doesn't say he's a pious person. Lefi shehi ma'ala sichlit, because this is an intelligence. What's a good translation of ma'ala? It is a, help me out here, Hebrew people. You're on mute.
It's a tchuna.
Advantage, trait. Okay, good. Rabbi Shalona, you can't translate a Hebrew word with another Hebrew word. It doesn't help us English people, right? It's a trait. It's an advantage, right? It's a better word. It's an intellectual gift or benefit. Va'amar chacham. V'lo amar al ka, and it says somebody who is, it's wise, it's not pious. V'lo amar al kashe havanat inyanim, if it's hard for you to process, to understand, it doesn't say, Rabba Shechacha Rasha, that you're a bad person. Lefisha ein zeh biyado. This is exactly your point, Fred. It is not in your hands. Ve'ein hi min hamailos asher efshar liknosan. You can't acquire it. You've got no choice. It just happened, as I explained in Perek Hasheni. We've actually spoken about this in the past. We've dealt with memory as well. And the Rambam says he has spoken about this as well. Main point is that when it comes to memory and ease of understanding, it's not in our hands, and therefore we cannot call somebody pious or wicked based on these characteristics that are intellectual characteristics, not moral or personality characteristics that we assume you have the capability of changing. This is the opinion of the Rambam. This is going to be the opinion that we are going to follow for the first three quarters of the shir before we flip it on its head and argue with it. But most commentaries are going with this route. The question then becomes, if this is true, that this is not in my hands, what's our question methodologically? What's our problem? Go back to why are we studying Pirkei Avos? What are these Mishnayos about? What are the Tanaim trying to do for us?
It says midot here. Arba midot batamidim. What kind of midot is this? It's not midot.
Okay, so midot doesn't necessarily mean personality or midot as character. Mm-hmm. Midot could just mean four types, right? Four, midah means a measurement. So four measurements of intelligence, right? So the Rambam, this is a midah sichlit. It's a midah, it's a characteristic of intelligence. So it's not midot in the sense that we use it commonly nowadays, that midot just means personality, character traits. Midot means a measure. Measure, you could have a personality trait characteristic, or you could have an intelligence characteristic. So good question, but I would say don't get caught up in that word. But what methodologically here speaking, if all we're saying is that there are four types of students, some have good memories, some have bad memories. Mazel tov. Why are you in Pirkei Avos? What's Pirkei Avos about?
teaching us how to behave.
Teaching us something. There has to be some background here. The right, the Abar Banel, we'll skip to it now and come back to it later. But we won't give his answer, but we'll give how he phrases this. He says, source number 8, Va'odiacha shelo baha mishnayo ta'elo lahagir lo'odia tivei amizagim va'advar manim shachim mehem. The Mishnayos aren't here to come tell us, it's not a psychological textbook to tell us what types of people there are in the world in terms of how good their memory is. This is not what the Tanaim were involved with. They're not psychologists and they're not doctors. They're not philosophers. They're not dealing with abstract concepts. What's the practical takeaway? What are you trying to teach me? So now what all the commentaries are going to be doing that we're going to quote now is to give some sort of practical takeaway as to why the Mishnah would tell us these four characteristics. If you're just describing, it's one thing if it's a moral, you're trying to tell me this is what a pious person is, so try to work on becoming a pious person. But if your whole starting point is this is just what memory and processing speed is, and there's nothing you can do about it, it's just you're stuck, then why in the world would you spend time telling this to me in Pirkei Avos?
Why the Gemara brings the case of somebody who has the Rav had to teach him 100 times or 40 times.
400 times.
To understand and not to forget. So that means if I know that I cannot understand so well, so I have to repeat it 40 times or whatever it is, in order not to understand and not to forget. So,
okay.
You kind of said, oh, it's not my so I'm not to tell me, so I'll be a shoemaker. You cannot do that.
Okay.
Can I add something?
Sure.
As a teacher, you need to know what kind of students you have so you can adjust your mode of teaching.
Okay. So I would say frame this in one of two ways. You're either ruining my shir or building my shir, right? So we're gonna get there. But you're,
can I connect it to the previous two?
Just one second. So let me just frame what you're saying here in terms of your gut reactions. I mean, what do you mean I can't change this, right? So we have, you know, how many teachers in this room? You're gonna tell me that I can't, if I have a bad memory, that's it, I'm done. So give up, throw in the towel. I can't comprehend so quickly, so I'm gonna, you know, give up, throw in the towel. What do you mean? So it's almost like, what do you mean Rambam, right? Source number two, what we read, Rambam. Nothing you can do about it. This is just it. What do you mean that's just it, right? So we're gonna deal with that. And that's really what we're going to be developing throughout this year with a little more detail and a little more nuance, but we're going to be moving in that direction. There has to be some practical takeaway to get from this that doesn't leave me with some fatalistic sort of, I'm stuck, I got nothing I can do, your intelligence is just whatever it is, you're done, right? It's against the teacher in us, it's against the psychologist in us, it's against the parents in us, it's against our humanity. That's just not what do you mean? It's such a deterministic way of looking at intelligence. It's hard for us to even go with that, but that's the starting point. Again, you guys are foreshadowing where we're going to end up going by the end. Yes, Freda.
Rabbi?
One second, Barbara. So, Freda was first.
So I just wanted to say, if you look at all three together, maybe the first two really are addressing the teachers. It's a teacher-student relationship, and that's what Pirkei Avot is a lot, a teacher-student relationship. And maybe the first two are telling us, okay, now you're going to have students like this and students like that. In English, we say, I cannot control what happens around me, but I can control how I react to it. And those are telling the teachers how to react to different kinds of students. You have the student who learns quickly, mm-hmm. and remembers, but you have the one who learns quickly and forgets. Well, you have to be patient. Don't get angry fast.
Okay, good. So let's... good question. Good point. We're going to develop that a little bit also. Barbara, and then we're going to see some sources.
Yeah, I'm sorry I came a little late, but so are you making a correlation between intelligence and knowledge, gaining knowledge?
How, okay, so we're using the term intelligence loosely here, but the way the Mishnah is using it is not talking about intelligence per se with that broad statement. It's talking about two types, or two, what I would say, are subcategories of what we look as intelligence at this point in time. It doesn't comprise all of intelligence, but there's how quickly I understand, what I would call, again, some level of processing speed, how quickly I can comprehend something, as well as how quickly I memory, which is, again, part a subtype of intelligence.
Is this saying that that's from Hashem? And if it's from Hashem, how could it be evil if you're slow to comprehend and quick to forget? If it comes from Hashem, then why are we to blame?
Right. So we're saying, so far we're saying there's no blame here. That's why we're changing it from Russia to Zechelik Ra. I would argue with this translation. I don't like the word evil here. I would say bad, and say that it's a bad portion, meaning I don't think anybody can argue that there's some level of difficulty that you will have in life if you are slow to comprehend and quick to forget. You know, that's a chelek ra. That's not the best, you know, when they were given out intelligences up in Shemayim, you know, that's sort of the end of, it doesn't mean you don't have any redeeming qualities. It doesn't mean it's your fault, and it doesn't mean you can't be a good functioning person. It doesn't mean you can't get as much olam haba and do as much mitzvos as possible. That's not what we're talking about. But in terms of matching up the levels of intelligences, that is the worst level of intelligences out of our list of four. So it's a chelek ra, it's a bad portion, especially in comparison to the other ones who are quicker to understand or have a better memory than this person. But you're right, so far what we've gleaned is, on the one hand, it's not my fault, so don't call me pious or wicked. But on the other hand, we have a little bit of a pushback. You mean I have no say in the matter? You mean there's nothing I can do about it? Okay.
Does that click count?
Okay, good. So let's see some of the answers here.
Does this also lead to differentiated instruction in multiple intelligences? How you learn how to gear your lessons?
It could be. So we're gonna close with something related to teachers. Remind me if we have time to come back to number one. Number one is an interesting take on. Related to what we're talking about, but it's a little bit off track, so I don't want to do it now, but it's related to connecting this to the Mishnah about anger, and similar to what Freda mentioned before in terms of the teaching to the how it relates to different teachers, etc. So hopefully we'll come back to it, but let's skip it for now because it's more direct to go to the future sources. So let's see source number three. Rav Matisyahu Hayitzari. So first number one. Again, you guys are intuiting and predicting a lot of what we're going to be seeing. Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari says, "V'lo yidaber bechinas secharo mi'eis Hashem yisparach ba'olam hazeh ba'olam haba." When, don't get thrown off. Yes, we use the word schar, reward, but it doesn't mean reward in the sense of reward and punishment from God. Right, so it's the same idea. This is, you're not doing anything wrong per se for the fact that you have a bad memory or that you can't understand, comprehend so quickly. So the term schar here shouldn't be translated as reward. It should rather be translated more along the lines of, again, how I tried to translate it originally, which is like a pro and a con. Right, you have a schar, which is your pro, and your hefsed is a con. The pros and cons. We're trying to analyze which one's better or worse, but it's not a reward and punishment per se. So schar, don't get thrown off by the word schar here. It's not talking about schar, reward from God in this world or the next. Kishi shaninu, as Barbara just said, echara marba ve'echara mamet uvilvadshi chavon libo l'shem shamayim. It's about what your intentions are, what your motivations are. It's about what your effort is. It's not necessarily about how smart you are. Just learning Torah, even if you don't remember it, has beneficial benefits to it in terms of helping us prevent sin, and there's reward to the learning, etc. So now, return to our question. So we're saying it's not your fault. Fine. Then what's this Mishnah doing here? What are you teaching me by just presenting these four categories of students. Aval, yidaber b'shnei talmidim. Echad me'am yikabel meheir v'yishkach meheir. We're talking about different students. Let's say you have one who can understand quickly but forgets quickly, and one who's kasha me'od b'avanaso, has a very hard time understanding, but once they understand, she'avin lo yishkacheu, once they understand, they're not going to forget. So basically, our first, let's say you have two students in front of you of our first two categories of our Mishnah. Mi me'ela adif. Which one is better? Okay, what do you mean, which one's better? Who cares which one's better? Well, nafkamina l'kahal hanos nimpras l'talmidim mi mishne elu b'kodem. Who's going to get the scholarship? Right? If you have two people in front of you, you give them all their tests. They take all their intelligence tests. And now you have to decide. I have one student can get a scholarship, the other can't. Who gets it? Well, that's what we're debating. Which one is a better student? Is it better to have quick understanding but forgetting quicker, or slower understanding but remembering longer? And the Mishnah answers that it's better to remember longer. So even if it's harder for you to process, it's better that you remember longer. Now, I have to tell you, for, again, all the teachers in the room are listening, think about this for a second. Your gut reaction, which student do you like teaching more? The one who in class gets it, but then doesn't do well on the test? Or the one who in class doesn't get it, but then does well on the test? Okay, so I'm not going to open the floor for discussion here, but I want you to be honest with yourself to figure out which one of those is either A, more enjoyable to teach in the moment, and then, you know, more enjoyable in the long run. I'm sure those are two different experiences, right? One's an easier person to teach in the moment. One might give you more nachas in the long run, but those are two distinct types of student personalities. Student intelligences. That's how the Ramah discusses this. Which one do you give the scholarship to? That's one possibility. Another possibility, O Masha Amru Beparakama de Kedushin, Hu Lil Mod Uvno Lil Mod, Hu Kodem Livno. So for those who were in the Talmud Torah, the Rambam Monday night Shir, and when we did Hilchos Talmud Torah, this came up. Let's say I have limited resources, not between two students, but between a father and a son. So only one of them can go and learn, the other one needs to go and work. So who goes to learn, who goes to work? So in our society, we generally assume that, okay, the parents work and the children go to learn. But in theory, let's say the father has a better memory or is quicker to learn. Technically, the father has priority to learn over the son, and it's the son who should go out to work, and the father doesn't have to go and then support the son. So if you take that, so now we're talking about, let's analyze the intelligences, not just of the two students, but of the father and the son. And if the father has a quicker memory, quicker processing and a better memory, then perhaps the father should stay and learn and the son should go out to work. Again, it's a little bit different than the way we look at things, but it's really not so crazy on some level. If the student can't keep up, if the student can't do it, then maybe we push them into a different direction and not keep trying to hammer home something that they can't understand, they don't enjoy. And maybe we give that, again, that it's basically both of these answers is a matter of prioritization. And if we know the student's intelligence and we know where they're at, then we're going to make educational decisions based on these categories. Okay, so it's an interesting presentation by Rav Matisyahu Hayitzari. We're going to see some more answers in a moment.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi?
First, let's get...
Could it?
Yeah, Barbara, go.
Could it happen that it also depends on the way the teacher teaches? Depends on the teacher sometimes more than on the child at times.
Okay, and that might be... We're going to develop something along those lines shortly. So, yes, what's the message to the teacher here? Okay, good. Judy, what are you going to say?
What
about writing on an old cloth versus a new cloth, one of the Mishnahs we had a few weeks back.
Correct. So we spoke about, it was more than a few weeks but at this point, but yes, we spoke about memory when it comes to the difference between learning while old and learning while young, and a lot of these themes came up there as well. Great memory, remembering that. Some of the themes came there, and we saw some in previous Mishnayos as well. So this is a recurring theme within Perkei Avos, dealing with our levels of memory and our levels of how quick we are to learn. Okay, source number four. I love this. I came across this by accident. I was looking for a different source. We're going to see source number six. And in the course of looking, I saw that number six quoted. In the course of looking for number six, I came across number four, which I'm very happy about. So the Knesset Yisrael here is the first time we're quoting him. It's a beautiful sefer that, if you recall, just give a moment a description, just because it's the first time we are quoting it. The Medrash Shmuel, who we quote often, we're going to quote later on today in two different cases. Here, source number one is the Medrash Shmuel. Source number seven is the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel was one of the first sources, first books written in the Rabbi Shmuel de Uzida in the 16th century, who compiles, in each Mishnah, a dozen or so previous commentaries that discuss the Mishnah. So he was one of the first melakhtim, as it were, who collected other explanations of the time previous to him. So the Knesset Yisrael is a later work that both has in the Sefer, has the Medrash Shmuel, so you get everything the Medrash Shmuel quoted, and then the Knesset Yisrael then goes and quotes another dozen sources that are post Medrash Shmuel. So if you have the Knesset Yisrael, you basically have on each Mishnah, 20 or so different commentaries, up until the 19th, or I have to get the exact timing here, but another 100, 200 years post that. And then, nowadays you have sources that quote even, all of that, plus everything that came, from the next 100 to 200 years. So yeah, you have so many compilations. There's so much out there in terms of Perkei Avos. So here's the Knesset Yisrael here quotes a sefer called Kol Sofer, where he writes, Arba Midos B'Talmidim. So he says, look at the Bartanura, which would be parallel to what we saw. Look at those explanations that say, there's two students, we only have enough to feed one of them. Which one comes first? Right? So that's how the Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari, we saw it in him. The Bartanura has an idea similar to that. Rabbeinu Yonah has an idea similar to that. Priorities of students. So who comes first if I have limited resources? So kasha la'abed ala mazal lishmoa. So you have to give to the person who remembers in the long run, because they try harder, even if it's hard for them to learn in the moment. So this is what he says. Davar ze pela be'enai. This is unbelievable. I can't comprehend this. Kaven sheshnehem mivakshim lilmod. You have two students applying to your school. They both want to learn. But one has a genetic gift from birth. And the second one has a deficiency from birth. Where do you come from that you're going to prioritize one over the other? It's not his fault. He didn't do anything. They both want to learn. They're both motivated. We're going to make that decision based on something that's completely out of his control. Okay, so you can get out of it somehow and say that maybe the fact that they don't understand so well, maybe it's because they've sinned at some level, but that's really not okay. That's not a good answer to get out of the question, because our assumption here is that this is genetics. It's not something that you did to deserve this. It's not a punishment, right? That's our whole starting point. So his answer is not really so satisfying. His question is a pretty strong question, which again, any school decides that, you know, board deciding who's getting into the school, who's not getting into the school, who's getting a scholarship, who's not getting to the scholarship. This is a crux of a debate here. How do you make these decisions, and who gives us the right to make a decision based on an innate gift that somebody has? If you have another student who doesn't have that gift but is just as motivated, just wants to learn and wants to be a part of that, again, on the other hand, there's limited resources. So what do you? It's not like we have unlimited resources. We have limited resources. So how do you make these decisions? We have to make the decision based on something. These are very hard things. So let's not just take this prioritization and making decisions so lightly. There's a kickback here. It's not so simple that we should just make decisions if it's nothing that I did or nothing that I did to deserve either one, that should determine who gets to learn and who doesn't get to learn. It's a very, very powerful ideas to think about here. Scary ideas to think about. Source number 5, Re-Nachmias. Another answer. Why do we have this Mishnah here if this is all innate? And we're going to start now developing, well, is it really all innate? Is there nothing I can do about the fact that my memory is not so great? Is there nothing I can do about the fact that my processing is not so quick? So he writes here the end of the first line on source number 5. Hiskira matana shiyada kol echad mehem chelke hamiyuchalo. So this line itself is very powerful. The Tana, the author of our Mishnah, writes these categories so that people should know what their category is. Now, he's going to continue, but I want to stop and pause there. That's important, right? There's an element of self-awareness here. And sometimes it's hard for us without being able to articulate what category. This is what science is about on some level, right? You create categorizations, you create names, you create, taxonomies, you create whatever to be able to then identify and articulate and verbalize and figure out where am I or where is somebody else or where is this animal or whatever within that system. So without being able to name it or identify what the categories are, you might not be able to have the self-awareness to know where you are. So part number one of this is just articulating these categories is going to help me think. Let me take a step back. Well, where am I in this hierarchy? Where am I in these different levels? Now, some of you alluded to not the self-awareness, but the teacher awareness, right? The teacher should be able to look at these categories and figure it out. That's true as well. But let's not overlook the fact that it helps me figure out where I am. But he continues. So
That's why we say in the tefillah, Tachonen Adam Dad. There are different kinds of learning.
Right.
So I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me. If I'm lacking one, so let him help me with the other. So whatever.
Okay, good. So that's what his answer is going to be. So he says, once I understand where I am on this list, V'yivakesh rachamim, davin. Did we forget that we can pray for things? Kamosha Amru, the Gemara says, Mayas Adam Biyachkam, what should somebody do to become smart? I'm not so smart. I don't have a great memory. So what should I do? Yarba Biyashiva, so try hard. What do you mean try hard? Harbe Asu came, Velo Ho'ilu. A lot of people put in a lot of effort and it didn't work. Eli Yivakesh Rachamim, Mimisha Chachma Vatfuna Shalo. Davin. And the Gemara ends up and says it's a combination of these two things. You have to try, you have to put in your hishtadlut, you have to put in your effort, and you also have to daven. So Rav Yosef Nachmias is saying, you know, on some level, yes, it's not in your control. This is what God gave you, and you can't necessarily fix it. But again, is that really true? We never give up hope. We always have the capability and the opportunity to daven. So make sure you daven. And if you daven for it hard enough and you have the brach and shmona esrei, atachon adam das, you say it and you mean it and you ask God, make me have a better memory. Please help me. I'm going to put in the effort, but make me have a better memory. So what do you mean I have nothing I can do? Of course I can do something. Okay, so we're starting to see that it's not that there's nothing to do. There might be something to do. Look at source number 6. Arba midos betalmidim. Efshar. So this is a little bit, perhaps I should have done this before number 5, but he writes here, Efshar, Shatana Baladaber Aleva Talmidim. So we're speaking to the students here. right? I'm in a class, and there's so much competition. There's so much fight. There's fighting for scholarships. There's competition for grades. There's competition for colleges. There's competition for jobs. So much medical school. So much competition. So he says here, in yeshiva, there's competition in yeshiva. Who understands better? Who knows better? Does better on tests? So Ashatana bala dabar alev al tamidim. The Mishnah is coming to speak to these students. Shlo yera beineim al haTorah v'hachachma sheyesh bezulatam. Don't get so down about the fact that other people understand. Other people are quote unquote smarter. Ve'ein biyadam, ve'lo yekanu behem. Don't be jealous of them. Don't be envious of their talents. Ki davar zeh hechrachi mitzad mezgam v'tivam. Okay, hold on a second, guys. We just got kicked out of a meeting. Okay. Restarting, giving everybody a minute or two to come on. I'll reshare my screen. Sister All, four types of students. Talking to the students. Don't get jealous. Don't get envious. It's not in your hands. And it's not in their hands, right? So don't think that they're so great, they're so amazing. Those are innate abilities. Mitzad mezgam v'tibam v'toldasam she'enam shavim b'chol adam v'alaydei ashkeda v'asmada yuchol kol adam l'zakos b'tar v'liknos ma'ashachasar. And then he, right, again, it's so, you see the tension here. On the one hand, don't be envious, don't be jealous, because it's not in their control, it's not in your control. And then how does he end off? But if you work really, really hard, you can compensate, right? So it really is like we don't feel it's this whole the whole Mishnah is this tension. It's this back and forth between, on the one hand, it's not in my control. Then, like, can we really say it's not in your control? Is there really nothing you can do? You can't try harder to get there? So it's almost this opposite paradox dialectic of on an extreme. Don't worry, it's okay, not in your control. But make sure you daven, make sure you work really hard, because if you do and you really try, you're going to be able to compensate for it. So it's really a fascinating back and forth here. If you
Rabbi?
Look, yes, Barbara.
May I just say one thing? I think every new teacher should learn this before they go into a classroom.
Okay, Barbara, you set it up. Start spreading the word. Okay, now.
It's too late for me.
No, never too late. Never too late.
There are two statements that it works on that. Number one, kin'at sofrim tarbe chokhma. The kin'ah should be there. It's not a negative thing in this case. And number two, evei zanav la'arayot v'lo rosh la'shulchanim. If you sit in a class, you are not so good. And so many good students there, they'll pull you with them. So there are ways to attack it.
So good point in terms of the envy. There could be a healthy way of doing that. It's definitely true. But presumably he's talking about don't be unhealthily sort of despondent about the fact that people are better than you, which is probably what happens most of the time without some sort of intervention, is that when other people are doing so amazing and great, then you have to, you know, many students get despondent about that. So he's coming to that. But you're right. There is a way to create a healthy level of kinas sofrim, of some good pushback and feedback on people working to keep learning and grow with each other. Source number 7, Medrash Shmuel. Va'af gam zos hishmianu ki li'olam al yitya'esh adam milimura Torah. So again, never give up hope. Never give up hope. Ba'omer yadati psichos libi. I know how bad of a learner I am. Sh'lo'olam lo'uchol lahasig b'Torah. I can't learn anything. I never remember. I can't understand. So he says a very powerful, close read here. Notice, what's our worst case scenario here? Our worst case scenario is that it's kasha lishmoa umaher la'abed. Slow to comprehend and quick to forget. Is there anybody who can't comprehend at all and can't remember at all? No, they're not in the Mishnah. Now, again, I'm sure there's an individual who exists who you might categorize like that, but that, you know, we're not talking about extreme handicaps here. We're talking about, for the most part, anybody in the classroom can learn something, not just classroom, anybody in life, in shiur, in learning, can get something, right? So read that last, again, Kizos Hamida Shalola Hasig Klal. There's no category of I can't get anything. Lo Timsa Bishun Adam. There's nobody who can't learn absolutely nothing. V'achila Karasha B'kulam Yishakash L'shmo M'mar Labe. The worst case scenario is that it's hard to learn and it's hard to remember. V'kevan Shebehechrach Yishma V'yavin Afim Yebekoshi Yasuk B'torah. So because you're going to get something out of it, make sure you learn. Like we started off with, you know, it's not about how much you do. It's about your intentions and it's about your effort. And then he says that there's another point here. So point number one is that everybody's on the table, as it were, right? Everybody can learn something. So it's actually an empowering Mishnah that even the worst case scenario, you can get something out of it. So make sure you try, make sure you learn. Even if you forget quickly and even if you can't understand so well, you'll get something out of it. And then he says on the flip, what's our best case scenario? Our best case scenario is our Chacham. Who's our Chacham? Is that he, it's quick to understand and hard to forget, but there's nobody who understands automatically, and there's nobody who remembers everything. Somebody doesn't forget anything, that's a chacham. It's hard for them to forget. So what's that teaching us? So you think you're so smart, you remember stuff, but don't lo yismoch al zchiraso. Don't just say, oh, I have a good memory. I'm not going to forget. I don't have to study. I don't have to review it because I have such a great memory. I'm so smart. Such a good memory. That's angelic. That's not human. Everybody forgets. So however smart you think you are, you're going to forget something. You have to review. Don't rely on your memory. That's pshita shagama love tavor kanasa shichacha. That person will actually forget because they're not trying, they're not remembering, they're not reviewing. So everybody needs to review, no matter how smart you are, and everybody can learn something. That's the Medrash Shmuel's takeaways from this Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Two more sources that are going to round up our discussion. If we have time, we'll go back to source number one. So here now, what we've seen, to recap, is a starting point on one extreme, is that not in your control. Then we see the sources who are saying, starting off by saying it's not in your control, but you can daven. You can try hard. The Abarbanel here in source number 8 really frames it explicitly. We started off, we read the first half before as we started. The Mishnah is not coming to teach us just some textbook definition of memory and a textbook definition of processing, right? So what's it teaching us? Aval, haisa kavanasam, she'im heyos mizgeya adam notim elakas. Similar to the previous Mishnah, if our personality, our temperament, is one that is susceptible, is more likely to go towards anger, o ala sablanut, or patience, varitsui al havana, or to understanding, val zikaron ola hafcheyam, or for memory or the opposite, whatever your genetic disposition is, whatever your more likely direction to go in, whether in terms of personality or in terms of intelligence, she'im kozek far yuchol ha'adam behan hagaso vehergelo atov liknos hamidos vehakinyonim hamishubachim. Through hard work, through habituation, we can both improve our personality and, not like the Rambam said, you're nothing you can do about your intelligence. You can improve your memory and you can improve your speed of processing as well. even if it's not your natural tendencies. So here's on the other extreme is that no, there's no such thing as this is who I am, I can't change anything. Through hard work, through habit, through repetition, through memory strategies, through speed strategies, I can change my intelligence, I can change my personality. Source number 9 is going to now frame this within the context of teaching. And then I want to show you one resource in the psychological material that we use with students in the classroom. And if we have time, which we might not, we'll get back to source number 1. We could always do source number 1 next week. We still have more to do on this Mishnah. We didn't even get to explaining the 4 categories. We're just doing the introduction to the 4 categories. Then we got to understand the 4 categories. We got a lot more left. So the source number 9 here, it's a little bit hard to read. This is Shita Lo Noda Lami. Anybody know who wrote this? Nobody. Somebody wrote it, but we don't know. The title of the book is The Opinion of, we don't know who it is. So somebody wrote this, he writes as follows. Arba midos b'talmidim. So kol alo made him gadol ben katan sham. So number 1, he frames this, and I like this. I don't care if you're a little kid or you're an adult, right? We have different types of learners. So the Mishnah, just because it says talmidim, doesn't mean that we're talking about little kids or even high schoolers, right? Everybody's a student, and it gets back to what we've discussed several times. Even a Talmud Chacham is a Talmud. He's a student. So we're all students. She'ein b'yad adam l'shanos ha-teva v'advarim elu heim ba'im mikoach ha-teva. So we have this natural tendencies. It's genetics, as we would call it nowadays. Kasher hevia Rambam, like the Rambam says, that comes from Yisodos she'esh adam kar lach v'yeshu cham v'lach. So now it's interesting. We didn't get into this. Maybe we'll get into next week how sort of the brain works. I've alluded to this several times. We've never done it in detail. How the brain works through the understanding of medieval science. But let's just bypass that for now and use our own sort of modern terminologies here of how my neurochemicals and my hormones and all that fire, you know, how my brain structures work. So that's all natural. That's all genetic. Yeshu cham biyavish v'tivo she'achacham v'kar v'lach v'lo ye tipesh. So again, there's different types of how people's brains work. Then he says, Koach ha-hasmada v'ha-hergel, like the Abarbanel, through hard work and through habituation, hishanel lefamim ha-teva, maybe we can change our nature, v'yutva bo teva acheres, and get another, a second, a different nature. Fine. So that's the Abarbanel. That's what we saw. You can change. That's the purpose of the Mishnah. Work harder to change your memory. Work harder to change your processing speed. Ach. However, Talmid Ktanim. It's okay if I'm an adult. What if it's a little kid? Einam Yodim Mevinim Eich Lishano says Tivam. They don't know how to change their nature. They're 5, they're 10, they're 15. They don't know what they're doing. Adaraba, Yetzram Shoftam Leilech Batel Tamid. They're lazy. They don't want it. They just want to play. I don't know if that's lazy, but they don't want to work on themselves. Lachain, Amar, Vuchelek Tov, Vuchelek Ra. It's a good portion or a bad portion. Ach Hazarahi Zula Lemivim Lebes Ha Sefer, O Lemelandim. Sheyitnu Einayim. Alzeb hashkacha pratios. This is a message to the teachers. And I love this. He doesn't just say the teachers. He says lemeviim lebeis hasefer. Who are the meviim lebeis hasefer? Presumably the parents, right? So this is a message to parents and to teachers. Not just the teacher's job. This is not just the teacher's job. It's a message, and it's not just the parents' job. It's a message to the parents and to the teachers. I'll call to be Hashkacha pratios al kol echad ve'echad. You want to talk about differentiated instruction? You have to pay careful attention to each one, specific, a mode of intervention to each and every individual in your class. Lefi mashehu b'teva, based on what their natural capabilities are. V'yargileo l'teva tova, and train them to go to a better nature. So the Mishnah has a message for two different categories of people. There's category number one of person who can figure this out and work on their own through hard work, through effort. Don't say this is just nobody and nothing. I can't do anything about it. This is what God gave me. What can I do? I'm stuck. Work hard. Change your nature. And what about the little kids who can't, who aren't going to work hard? They're not going to change their nature. So this is a message to the parents and to the teachers to know their natures, to make sure you understand who they are so that you can work with each one. Behashkacha pratis, right? You know what that means. Hashkacha pratis, we talk about in terms of God cares about each and every individual. Everything we do is looked at and taken care of from, you know, from Hashem. It's the same language here for what a teacher and a parent are supposed to do for their students, to work on individually each one to help them in order to change their nature if this is what they are given in terms of their memory, in terms of their speed of processing. Make sure you intervene to be able to help them get a better memory and a better speed of processing. So I'm going to close here with show you a resource that one of my professors from St. John's, who is a leader in the field of learning disabilities and interventions. So she wrote this book called Essentials of Specific Learning Disability Identification, how to identify learning disabilities, what types of tests you can use. And then what's most important, both for teachers, I do this in my class at Azrieli, when we have a class on learning disabilities, we focus on different interventions that can be used. So she identifies many, many different learning disabilities, and then most importantly, what types of interventions you can use in a classroom in order to compensate and work with students to be able again, similar point of the Mishnah, to work hard to overcome what these struggles and weaknesses are. So I'm just going to show you one related to there is something here on, if you look here, there's processing. There's something related to, here's memory, right? So how do you compensate for long-term memory problems? So we have several different interventions. So we have if you're not in the field, my point here is not to teach you all about this right now, but just to show you that there are interventions that can be done and can be used to try to compensate for these issues. So active learning strategies, I don't know if you can see it so well. Active learning, it keeps popping up here. Sorry. Here we go. Active learning strategies, rehearsal, overlearning, elaboration.
Where are you?
Can you see it here? Mnemonics. Visual representation, organizational strategies. Again, each one of these is somewhat involved to explain what they are. But you here have five different strategies that can be used with students to be able to compensate for their memory issues. And again, this whole, there's the 219 slides here. It's recommendations about how to compensate, how to fix, how to improve. And the same thing, I'll show you one more as it relates to the Mishnah. Is processing speed, right? So how quickly somebody can understand something. So here's processing speed. Interventions for processing speed include repeated practice. I'm over here. Repeated practice, speed drills, computer activities that require quick, simple decisions. And then there's accommodations, extended time, reducing the quantity of work required, increasing wait times, etc. There's lots of different things that you can do. And through repeated practice, through speed drills, you can improve a student's ability, how quickly they think. Does that mean that everybody can be super geniuses? No. Genetics doesn't disappear. Right? There are manifestations of our brain and our brain chemicals and our brain structures that impact us, for sure. So the Mishnah is not denying that. But to go with such a hard read from the Rambam that there's nothing you can do about processing speed, there's nothing you can do about memory, it just doesn't really fit. The commentaries themselves are not satisfied with that. The Abarbanel explicitly, as we saw at the end, disagrees and says there are things you can do. And even the ones in the middle that we saw that start with the Rambam's premise that, oh, there's nothing you can do, even they, if you do a close read of them, were like, no, that's not true. Well, you can daven, right? No, well, you can work really hard. You can try really hard. Yes, you might not then get to be the quickest learner or the best memory in the world, but there are things that you can do to improve. There are things you can do to compensate. The last thing we would want to do is to read this Mishnah and say, I'm stuck. This is my genetics. I can't be a good learner. And I know I said I'll close with that, but I'll close with one more idea. And maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more. There's a book here that I have, fascinating book called Moonwalking with Einstein, written by a journalist named Joshua Foer. And what he's a normal guy, not such a great memory, probably like I would describe my memory, you might describe your memory. And then as part of his journalistic endeavors, he went and wanted to study. They're actually competitions for memory. They're national and international memory competitions. So he wanted to go interview the people who participate in these memory competitions. So that, you know, people who you would show them, you know, 100 cards randomly, you know, a deck of cards randomly, and then they would spit back to you what those 100 deck of cards, you know, those people who can, you know, recite pi, you know, from all these people who have tremendous memories. So he's going there as like a bad memory guy, just fascinating, wanting to learn about them. Turns out he learned the strategies, which have to, you know, which you can read about in the book. And then he went and won the national memory championship, right? So he regular normal memory guy, put in the time, put in the effort, and within a year, again, it was his full time job to work on his memory because he wanted to, I guess, write a best selling book. But he worked on his memory and learned the strategies and became a national memory champion. So there are strategies, there are things to do to improve our memory. The last thing we want to do is say, I have a bad memory, why try? For those who say, I have a bad memory, I can't remember anything, at the very least, I think I made this point last time we spoke about memory, if you didn't review it at least once, you can't claim you have a bad memory, right?
100 times you have to review
100
it.
Times.
100 first time you will remember.
Right. So at the whether it's 100 or whether it's 1, right? At the very least, if we don't review it even once, and then we say, ah, what do you want? It goes in one ear, out the other. That's not how memory doesn't work that way, right? We can't possibly remember it just one time unless we have a super de-duper memory, but that's not most people. Most people, if you want a shot at remembering something, need to review, need to do some drills, need to figure it out. And if you really, really want to improve, there's methods out there to actually attain a very, very good memory if you want to put the time and effort into being able to do it. So we're going to continue next week. So we're not done with the discussion of memory and processing. So maybe we'll have some more insights into some of the psychology. But for the most part, next week, we are going to be focusing on trying to understand the nuances of the Mishnah in terms of what these four categories are. Okay. We'll see you all next week.